And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, we will be previewing the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges, first time at this South Korean course. But before we do that, let me introduce everybody. I am Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric. I am joined once again by Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. And as always, the third member in this tripod, Bucks at BP Snow 11. Bucks, how are we doing?
Doing great, my man. Thank you.
Good, good. Before we get into this no-cut event, once again, let's talk about this past week's event, the CIMB Classic, where our boy Flatbill got through. And I'll kick it off with you, Bucks. Any thoughts on the CIMB?
Yeah, it was awesome. it was great. Now first we picked Patty Perez to win. So he lit it up, putted amazing. So I thought he was going to win by hitting those short irons tight all day. And he won by draining 25, 30 foot putts all week. So it was awesome. So he played great, but we had a lot of really, really good calls. I mean, we had U-line, Varner started to turn it on. You guys were all over, obviously. Xander, even though he was my fade of the week, that didn't work out well. But we had a bunch of guys. Even the Golden Cherub, Cam Smith, showed up. So it was awesome, man. I mean, I only had two lineups last week, and I had Patty Perez in both of them, so guaranteed cash pretty much.
Yep. Any thoughts on last week, Jesse?
No, man. I mean, you guys make some great calls on that. I can't really take credit, in particular the Patty Perez call and the Golden effing Cherub call. I had way too much. Way too much. I only played like two or three lineups, but I ended up rostering a few players that were below par. So when the winner's like 47 under, below par is not good.
Yeah. One thing I will say is I want to know how you were feeling, say, Thursday night after Paul Casey's opening round.
Well, so, you know, it's one of those things where you just with Paul, you kind of know these things are going to happen. He got 77, 63, 69, 65. So if the dude doesn't shoot 77 on the first day, I mean, he probably wins.
If he doesn't have one bad round a tournament, he wins.
If he's like 14 shots a year on the first day, you know, sometimes you just got to spot the field, you know, like 15 shots. A legit, like, you know, challenge if you're the goat of all goats.
I think Paul somehow heard her podcast and didn't want to see what was going to happen to your living room. Yeah. Should he have gone off?
Yeah, but then when he went off on Friday, I'm pretty sure it still did because Jesse was radio silent for a while.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's move on to the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges. We'll get back to Casey, I have a feeling. But as we said, 79 golfer field, no cuts, first time at this course. Really no past history at this event. So we'll go straight to the course preview. Bucks, what do you got?
Yeah, this is awesome, man. It's a new course for the PGA Tour. First time the PGA Tour has, I think, been at this course, been in Korea. We do have some tournament history with LPGA at Nine Bridges like 15 years ago, but you can't count on that. So, but the course looks amazing, and I've looked at it pretty I've looked at it quite a bit. I've looked at where they're playing it, what it does, and it looks amazing. It reminds me a lot of Arnold Palmer Designs, particularly one here in West Virginia, at Ogilvy. There's a Palmer course up there that it looks very, very similar to. Mix that with kind of golfing in Hawaii, Pacific Northwest. So I think you're going to see fairways are pretty generous. Visually, it can be intimidating. There's a ton of fairway bunkers out there to navigate. And then there are holes at which they have some really, really thick woods 15 yards off the rough, so you can't spray it. And the really interesting thing to me is there are a ton of greens that have really weird undulations and shapes where they can place these pins in a number of different places and really make the golf course interesting, so that you have to not only bomb it, but you have to position yourself off the fairway in the right places. So I guess for starters, it's not a long course. It's 7,200 yards. It is at elevation. So you might hear others talking about this. It's 2,000 feet above sea level. So you are going to see typically at 2,000 feet, you're going to see just under 2.5% increase in yardage. So for 300-yard drive, that's 6 yards. A stock 190-yard 6-iron will change about 4 yards. So it doesn't seem like that much, but when you're talking about irons coming into some of these par fives, 4 yards is quite a bit of difference to these guys. But you're looking at a golf course that's effectively going to play about 7,000 yards. The biggest thing that altitude does, and this is just for some information, is with the long irons, with the driver, it flattens out the ball flight. So you don't have that apex height typically. So I don't think we're going to see this golf course playing hard and firm. I think it's going to be fairly soft, and so it's not going to matter much, especially when they're hitting short irons into the greens. But just some information to keep in mind. I'll move on to the weather because I looked at it, and I'm honestly thinking about moving to Jeju. It's 67 Thursday, no rain. 67 Friday, 67 Saturday, and 66 on Sunday. And the low each day is like 61 or 62 degrees. So it's wow. phenomenal weather, just perfect. So, yeah, I think, do you want me to get into scoring yet? Or
no, we'll pass it around to Jesse here in a second.
Okay.
Let me ask you something on that, Bucks. Like, I know because you've done obviously a lot of research on the golf course. Would you compare it to any other tracks, like in particular? Like, I heard this morning Kapalua, for example. What did you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that a lot this afternoon. I was trying to figure out some comparables on the tour. I personally think it does look like a Palmer design, and so it made me think of obviously Bay Hill. With that being said, though, Bay Hill is typically really difficult, windy, and I don't think you're going to see that here. So I think that it will play kind of like a Palmer design with generous fairways. But, yes, absolutely, like Hawaii Golf, Kapalua, I don't think that it's going to potentially play that easy. But – you definitely see the comparables to where their fairway bunkers is pretty wide. There's some rolling fairways. You'll see some pretty steep elevation changes from tee box. But, I mean, if you look at the hole by hole, you'll see – and I know that the group that designed the course, it's not Arnold Palmer, but when you look at a lot of the Arnold Palmer designs compared to this course – it looks really, really similar. So I'm not going to look at Bay Hill. I'm not going to look at any comparables because I don't think that it fits the mold exactly. But people that play well at Kapalua, people that play well at Bay Hill, you might look at, but it's too hard to tell right now.
Yeah, it's going to be wide open. Yeah. That closing 18th par 5 looks pretty awesome, having to clear the water to hop it on there. It's going to be a cool course to watch on TV. Let's get into the key stats we want to target this week, and it's kind of tough really not knowing the course a lot, but we have a little idea. Jesse, what are you looking at on the key stats?
Yeah, I mean, it is super difficult to predict exactly what's going to be key here, obviously, with nobody ever playing here and really limited knowledge of the golf course. I'll just probably go back to my bread and butter greens regulation, a little bit more emphasis on probably putting, just because of what Bucks was just talking about with the greens having a lot of undulation and then obviously not the guys not being familiar with the greens, and so that could play a bit of a factor. But since it's a no cut event, you know, go back to the birdie or better percentage as well, and you know, kind of just wrap it up with driving distance. You know, I'm kind of trying to figure this out just like everybody else. So I'm guessing at this point. I'll be honest. That's my educated guess at it.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I think from looking at the course, and I'm not taking the LPGA too much into consideration, you had 2 years where it played at like 4 under and then 2 years at like 13 under. I think that with the weather being the way it is, the fairways being the way they are, playing at 7,000 yards, that I definitely think that it'll get to like 18 under, something like that. So with that being said, we thought the same kind of thing last week as well. And I think I'm going to be kind of on the exact same stats. So DK points, birdies, eagles, and then proximity is huge for me this week. So 125 to 175, just like last week, putting inside 20 feet. And then the one thing that I am adding a little sprinkle of is strokes gained off the tee. And then I'm going to look at PGAtour.com and some other sites regarding proximity from the fairway. Because like I said, there are a few places out there, if you look at the hole by hole, you can't miss it. Like, you can't spray. And you'll see some players, like, hit a bad drive or two per tournament that are, like, 40 yards offline. If you do that in some places out here, it's 100% going to be a lost ball. Like, you can't play it. So I'm going to look at proximity from the center of the fairway and try to find guys that fit my mold from a proximity standpoint, but can also kind of be pretty consistent off the tee as well. I'm not so much concerned about driving distance. Just like last week, I think it being a short course, I'm more concerned about the guys that can stick it close and make putts.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to a lot of what I did last week. It's going to be all about accuracy, like greens and regular, the approach to the green essentially, and then scoring. I just want scoring. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep it very simple. And also recent form, which will be one thing you'll notice with the list I have for my guys I'm targeting. Let's go into these guys. We have four guys over 10K, JT, Paul K, or PC, Jason Day, and Tony Finau. Jesse, kick us off in the 10K and above.
Yeah. I mean, PC, man, what can I say? You know, 11-6. I just don't know how you fade him. For me, that's about the only guy up here that I want, especially kind of talking about what Bucks was just talking about there. If you got to be in the fairway, can't afford to miss it, these other guys spray it. They're all over the golf course off the tee. In particular, Jason Day is known for hitting a lot of bad tee shots recently. Maybe he'll fix that this week. I think he will be lesser owned in the low-dollar contests. So you could probably grab him and take a chance on him in some low-dollar contests. He'll be higher owned, I do believe, in the higher-dollar contests if you're playing those. But, I mean, Paul Casey's about the only guy I want to touch up here, to be honest with you. This is obviously a very good pedigree in this region. These guys do tend to be a little erratic off the tee besides my dude PC.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Bucks, what are you looking at in the 10K and above?
Thomas is just hard for me from a price perspective. I think that he started to feel it late last week, and he has a solid chance of lighting this place up. I mean, he is first in points, first in birdies, fifth in bogey avoidance, seventh in strokes gained off the tee. The only thing that kind of concerns me, like you said, is kind of like that one bad driver's do that he just sprays it off the map. Like, if Spieth were playing, I'd fade Spieth completely because he has one drive around where it's like 40 yards right. But Justin Thomas, Casey Day, Finau, if I had to pick one in this range, surprisingly, I would pick Day because he is so bad with the driver, and that killed him all year, and I don't think this is a course where he has to hit driver. I think he can hit a driving iron on the majority of these holes and kind of plays into what his game's strong at. So I would go with Day in this range. I love Paul Casey, as I do every week. But I think for $1,000 less, I'm going to go Day.
Yeah, I'll have Casey in one of my three, but I can't go all in like normal for the same reasons I said last week. He needs to win at 11-6, and I just can't trust him to win. I'm sorry, but I can't. The guy I'd go with would be Finau. When you're looking at scoring, he has just been a monster of late. If you look at his numbers here, 2015 and 22, those are the birdies he's had his last three rounds, eagles in almost every round. He's putting up DraftKings points like they're going out of style. And I know if he starts spraying it, we're in trouble, but with a no-cut event, he could put together some monster rounds on this course. So if I have to go in this range, I'd go Finau. I'm going to prefer to start in the 9Ks and go the other direction, but that would be the guy I'd look at there. We have seven guys in the $9,000 range. Jesse, kick us off.
This is another kind of odd range by DraftKings here. I think there's a few guys who have who you can play in this range. A few guys I won't touch at all whatsoever, but my number one guy in this range would be Xander. I do think that if you start with him and then work your way down, you're going to obviously have a different lineup than other people, because I think a lot of people will try to go with one of the top four and then squeeze in Xander somehow, if that's possible, which I think it is. You're going to have to grab a lot of low guys, but Xander's just playing lights out recently. Take away his 72 in the final round at the CIMB last Sunday night Saturday night for us. He's had 7 of 8 rounds in the 60s, so he is burning it up. He's hitting the ball very well off the tee, hitting a lot of greens. Putter can use a little work, but, I mean, he would be my guy in this range. Other guys I would consider, Lahiri. I think Bello, could deserve a nod or two. And that's probably about it.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, Xander jumps off fairly well on my stat model. I mean, he's fourth in points, fourth in eagles, first in strokes gained off the tee for me. But from a proximity standpoint, at least in what I'm showing, last 24 rounds, it hasn't been great. That being said, he really, really turned it on late last week, and he's playing really well. So at $9,800, I think you can get the same type of performance and same upside as like a Justin Thomas. So I do like Xander this week, but the one guy in this range that I'm going back to is Pat Perez. I mean, he is 6th overall in my model. He's 9th in points, 1st in bogey avoidance, top 10 in proximity from 150, and then top 5 in every putting category. And again, I don't think he has to go to his driver. I think he's going to hit that PXG 3-wood and PXG fairway or hybrid off the tee the majority of the time and be fine. So I might start with like Xander Perez or something like that and move on. The other guy that interests me, because people will fade him no matter what, is Keegan Bradley. He really, really started playing well. And he is in the top 10 in 5 of my stat categories. So I'm going to have some of him sprinkled in as well.
Yeah, Keegan is an odd one. I agree with everything you said, and he's dialed in at the moment, so I can't ignore him. But I love Xander, like you guys said, for all the reasons you guys said. It's hard to ignore him at that price point. Flat Bill is definitely in play once again. And I'm going to look at guys that get overlooked in this range a lot, and I know it's because he can be very, very tilting, but a guy like Lahiri at 9,200, back-to-back rounds of 21 birdies, I'm looking for scoring. He can do that, especially he loves playing over there in Asia. That's what he does very, very well. So I'm not going to ignore him. And then RCB at 9,000, I think you're getting a little bit of a discount for a guy that at one time was one of the top players in the world. And Euro on the European tour, he's actually like in the top 10, I believe, and he's playing over here for some reason. So RCB at 9,000 brings a bit of a discount as well. But Xander stands out big time. As you guys said, he could easily be like competing with Justin Thomas again this weekend, and he's getting a massive discount there. So I think that's quite a steal in that situation. But a guy like Lahiri and Bello, I think, will go overlooked in this range compared to the others. Let's dip into the $8,000 range. Jesse, kick us off with about the 10 guys that are there.
Yeah. You know, the guy that jumps off the page, and I guess I will just keep sinking money into him until I eventually have no money left, is Adam Scott. I mean, at 8,500. I mean, I just don't see how Adam Scott is. I guess I've just been playing this for too long, because Keegan Bradley at 91 and Adam Scott at 85 is just blasphemy to me. Either way, I mean, Adam is just one of those. I mean, he's a ball striker, obviously. We know that. He's just been so inconsistent. I don't know exactly what the deal is with him. Maybe we can find out. But but 85, I'm going to take a chance on him. I mean, I don't care. Like, I hope people fade him and then he comes in at, you know, 10% and, you know, comes out of nowhere and wins the, you know, tournament or something like that. But it's just hard for me to fade. Other than that, I wouldn't mind going back to Gary Woodland. You know, if we're hitting three woods off the tee and that kind of thing, I think this course could be all right for him. He played okay last week. He wasn't great by any means. Finished 28th, a couple of 73 rounds there, mixed in with a couple rounds in the 60s. So he did hit a lot of greens in regulation last week. Putter just wasn't was not working. And speaking of apex height, you know that I caught that when you mentioned that, but. Brady Holmes is in the field. And, you know, he's one of those guys that can go just absolutely low at certain points. So I think he is worth a nod now. The only reason for that for me would be because his ownership will be down. He didn't play very well in England last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess. So it'll be interesting. But I think, you know, these are all GPP plays for me. I'm not playing any cash this week. You know, I'm just trying to take some shots and find some low end guys who come out of nowhere. And you know, those three guys would be the guys in this range for me.
Definitely. Bucks, what are your thoughts in the 8K range?
Yeah, I really like this range, man. I think so. You can make a case for a lot of these guys. Like, one, first of all, whoever is screenshot Jinx on Twitter trying to jinx my golden cherub last week, just can't do it. I'm probably going to go back to him. I do like Cam Smith this week. He has made a ton of birdies, makes eagles, top 20 in proximity, 125 to 150, and it's in top 10, 15 to 20 feet. So if he gets it going, I do like him this week. Russell Henley's another guy that this is like one of those courses that I think suits his game. Like I said about Perez last week, Henley's not the longest guy on tour, but he's pretty good overall if you don't have to hit it a mile. Daniel Berger at 8,700. I mean, it's a no-cut event. Yep. And he is a guy that can just go freaking bananas at any point in time. And he is in the top four in both of the proximity categories I have. So if he can just get his putter working one or two rounds, he's going to go way low. I'm glad you mentioned JB Holmes. I love him this week. Makes a ton of birdies, makes a ton of eagles. He is third in strokes getting off the tee. So he will definitely be in my lineups. And when you have Adam Scott right above him, Gary Woodland right below him, a lot of people I hear are moving on Benny on for some reason. And then people started getting on Grace as well. I see JB Holmes kind of being underowned. And so I really like that play this week. The last guy that I am going to go back to, even though it'll probably Bite Me Again is Kevin Na. He pops on my model, and if he just keeps the ball in play, I think he has a chance to really, really play well. So I'll be back on Kevin Na. I just hope it doesn't bite me in the ass.
Yeah, Kevin Na bit me too. He's so tilting because he birdies like crazy, but then he turns it around and like bogeys like crazy when he's not on. So very tilting guy. But in the 8K range, I will back you this time on the Golden Cherub, Cam Smith, at 8,900. I love Woodland at 83, but my guy in this range, and I'm going to mention him a few other times later on, Daniel Berger at 8,700 bucks. I hope he's not chalky. He probably will be chalky. But I absolutely love what he can do if he's on. I know it's an if thing, but like you said already, Jesse, got to take chances where you think you can take chances. And to me, at his price tag, he can destroy a course like this if he's just not spraying it and he's putting half decently. He can just go nuts here. So Berger at 8,700 bucks is the guy I'm going heavy on, and he'll be in every lineup I have, and I am a big fan of Berger this week. Let's dip in to the always locked and loaded $7,000 range where every golfer is. Jesse, kick us off with some that you like, then Bucks, and we'll just kind of hit them all by the end.
Yes, we will, because I'm just trying to count here. I got to 1,200,000, and I had to quit counting the golfers in this range. I'm going back for sure. My dude Lucas Glover at 7,800. He was on point last week. I mean, finished seventh, and that was after a kind of a bluff start, and then followed it up. So he shot 1 under first day, and then followed up with 5 under, 4 under, 4 under. Hit a lot of greens, hit in the fairway, scrambling around, just boring golfing you to death, but making birdies while he's doing it. So I'm going back to him 100% this week. You'll probably be on every single team that I make. Luke List is interesting. Another one of those guys who you think, you know, ball striker, extraordinaire, can he putt? He did finish 13th last week and had all four rounds under par with a decent putter. He was averaging 27 putts per round last week, which is pretty good for one Luke List. Another guy's interesting there right below him at 7,600 is Thomas Peters. He was my fade of the week last week. So I was watching on, I guess it was Thursday night. I don't know, Wednesday. I don't know when this thing started. And he was just coming out just blazing hot. Then he fires 77 in the third round to fade quite a bit. But I mean, he's one of those bomber guys, man. I mean, if he gets it going, he can go low as well. He will not be my fade of the week. And at 7,600, I think he's much more in play. And he was last week at like whatever he was, about 85 or whatever he was. So around a thousand discount there on him this week. Going on down, skipping about a half a million guys. Going back this week to my dude Gavin Green. So we talked about him last week. I was almost all in on him. Didn't go quite all in. It didn't matter anyway because the rest of my lineup sucked. He was about 7% owned. And so this week I anticipate him after, you know, losing people money last week that he will be less owned than 7%. He's got the game. His game was on point prior to last week. I think a lot of it had to do with kind of on the big stage. He played the first 2 days with, I think, JT and maybe Paul or Bud Collier. He played with JT for sure. So maybe Xander. I think it was Xander. Either way, I think he got a little scared last week. So I'm going back this week. Harold Varner's in play. I'm just going to quit there. There's just too many. I mean, there's 1,000 guys in this range, and there's only 76 in the 78 in the golf tournament. So,
yeah, there's a ton. Bucks, give us some that you like in this range.
Oh, man. Yeah, there are a ton of guys in this range that look pretty good. I think – I like that you mentioned Glover. I do like him this week. He's second in bogey avoidance and top 20 in DK points, proximity, putting inside from 15 to 20 feet, top 10 in strokes gained tee to green. I do like Glover a bunch. Same thing with Reavie. guy that pops on the model a bit is Grayson Murray. So I'm going to be on Grayson Murray this week. If he can just get the flat stick rolling a little bit, he should finish well. So
he did finish 69th last week.
What was that?
He finished 69th last week.
Nice.
He's going to finish 6th or 9th this week. So I do like him this week. I'm not typically a fan of his, like, in general. But I will be playing him. Another guy that pops on the model that I think will be chalky is Thomas Peters. He is in the top 20 in almost all the categories I have outside of putting. So we'll just see how that works out. Another guy that I was on a lot last year that I think I might be going back to just a sprinkle here or there is Danny Lee. Mm-hmm. He looks decent. I think that if he can keep it in play off the tee, that he has a real good shot. He's a strong iron player typically, so I do like him. And then I'll just a couple more, because there are, like, you can make a case for a lot of these guys, like Stewart Cink. I think this is a golf course that suits him. He is not super long off the tee, but he is accurate. He makes birdies. He stuffs it from, like, 150 to 175. And he putts pretty well. So Stewart Cink's in play for me. And then the last guy, well, two guys, Jesus. Two guys I'll mention. Harold Varner. I am always going to play him in a no-cut event because you never know when he's going to shoot 61, 62 after his 71. So I want a piece of Varner this week. And then Kevin Tway is a guy that is just super talented. And he's almost like min price. I mean, 7K for a guy that has that much game and can make a ton of birdies. I'm going to be playing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You guys have hit most of them. I'll echo a couple. I'm all over Ches Reavie. That's a guy I mention almost weekly, and he's still in the 7K range, and he's just consistent. He's like a top 20 machine in this range. Doesn't bogey a ton, which is huge. He's going to get you your birdies, but he doesn't have the blow-ups that often. I like Glover. We've talked about him a lot in the last few weeks. A guy like Nick Taylor's on the board. I love Danny Lee. That's a guy, and that really hurt to say because there's many weeks we don't love Danny Lee. In a no-cut event, like literally look at what he did last weekend. When Danny's on, this is what he can do. And I know he's not always on, but he had two eagles and 27 birdies last week. He had 123.5 DraftKings points. And I know we're not expecting that kind of miracle, but in a no-cut event, like, this is very, very possible. And that was after an opening round 73. So Danny Lee's that guy with four rounds of golf, could really put it together. You mentioned his iron play. The course fits what he can bring. So I do like him at 7,400 for a guy that can pop for you. Other than that, you guys mentioned Varner, who could be in play. A guy like Patrick Rogers at 7,200. To me, he's kind of like a mini Peters Cam type guy. Not, you know, he hits it pretty far. He can score. Just a matter of, does he blow up or not? And he has that ability. He's double bogeyed in every round, like the last 10 rounds, it looks like. So anything's possible, but 7,200 bucks could go low for you. And then guys like Kyle Stanley and James Hahn. Hahn actually played pretty well last week. And Stanley's just a pure, pure striker, which for any of these courses at 7,200 bucks, I wish it was a cut event. I'd lock him in for sure. No cut, he might not score enough, but I think he's very good at 7,200. To not just blow up for you and put together at least, you know, like a 70 pointer or more for you there to fill out your roster. But Reavie and Lee in this range are some big ones for me. Let's drop into 69, and I'll just be honest, I don't even want to go down here. So Jesse, kick it off if you have anybody down here you're interested in.
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, one guy who's decently high on my model, I guess he's a Korean, Young Hong Song, 6,900, plays on the Japanese tour, plays on the Asian tour, Japanese tour mostly. Coming off a third, a fourth, and a 19th.
at some golf tournaments I cannot pronounce. I mean, that would maybe be it to take a shot down here. I would really try not to go down in this range. It's really, really bad. I don't know most of these golf courses or these golfers, and I don't know how to pronounce most of their names. So over to you, Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going. There's only one guy in this range that I am going to lock in this week so that I can pay up for Perez and Xander and Jason Day, that kind of stuff. And that's, unless you're telling me he may be out, Graham McDowell. But Graham McDowell, I want all of that. $6,900, he will be in every single one of my lineups. He comes in the top 10 in my model last 24 rounds, 25th in DK points, 14th in birdies, 25th in eagles, top 10 in proximity 125 to 150, first in proximity 150 to 175, and top 20 in both putting categories. So, and when you look at McDowell and the way he plays, he doesn't have to try to overpower this golf course. He doesn't have to rely on his driver. So I love it. I'm going to play him everywhere.
If I had to pick one guy down here, I'd go to Scott Brown at 6,900.
That'd be chalky, I think.
Yeah. And I don't even want to go.
Everybody loves.
Exactly. But he's been good though. He's been really good. He played really well last week at the CIMB. BMW is okay. Our Safeway is okay. BMW played really well. So two of his last three events, he's like top 25. So he can score when he has to. But I really don't want to go here if I don't. It's a ton of locals. Maybe as we read up on the week, I was kind of talking to Jesse before we started, that it's a ton of Koreans down here. So maybe there's that local flair, like the Poom guy from the CIMB last week that played great. There's different angles that maybe something pops as the week goes on. But I don't want to just throw out a bunch of Korean names, because I'll probably butcher them, and B, I don't have a clue what they should do. Let's go to some punt plays here. Jesse, what? Give me two or three punt plays.
So I named one of them Song, S-O-N-G, 6,900. Another guy, he's not – he plays a lot on the Euro Tour. And I probably should have mentioned him whenever we were talking about the billion guys in the 7,000 range, but Jang Hung Hun Wang, let's just call him Wang, 7,000. He'd be another punt. He's going to be low on. Both those guys would be super low on. So I would go with those two. Now, Wang's either going to finish in the top 10 or dead last. So, and he's got a better chance to finish dead last. Just keep that in mind. But he's worth maybe one GPP lineup.
All about the Wang. What do you got, Bucks?
three punt plays for me would be McDowell, Hadwin, and CT Pan.
Yeah, I know he's 7,900, but I'm going Reavy, Lee, and Stanley. So somewhere in the sevens. Those are three punt plays for me. I love him. He's $7,800.
It's not a punt play.
I told you I don't want to be in the sixes. Okay. They're at 6,900 then, instead of Reavy. But yeah, Danny Lee and Kyle Stanley, 7,400 and below.
I love the Danny Lee call. Love it.
I think he's either going to blow up in my face or he's going to be phenomenal. That's all I know. It's one of the two. He's not average.
You're going to hear him in a minute.
Oh, I like it.
Absolutely came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
He did, because usually, like literally, like you laughed when I said it, Bucks. We don't like Danny Lee. Like, we don't.
I know. It shocks me. That's why it's weird that I like him this week.
Yeah, he pops out here.
Five. Before that seventh last week.
Yeah.
I know. And that's good.
123.5 DraftKings points. That is ridiculous. Like, if you look at Big Pat, the winner got 150.5.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. So, Jesse, what is your top bust play?
Bust. I'm going to go with Jason Day.
That is my bust play as well, so I'll cut to the chase. Bucks, what is your bust play?
It hurts. Oh, man. This is difficult because you can make a case for the majority of these guys. But If I had to pick a bust this week, because I think he'll be popular at that price, it's going to be Cabrera Bello.
Yeah, can't hate that. All right, let's talk core players. Jesse, who is your core?
Probably will be on Xander. God, it's, I mean, this field is so weird. Glover, 100%. I didn't mention Stuart Singh, but I'll go back to Stuart Singh. I played him a lot last week. He played really well. So I would say those three would be the highest owned in maybe the three or four lineups that I make.
Okay. What about you, Bucks?
Jason Day, Paddy Perez, and Graeme McDowell.
Nice. I'm going with Daniel Berger, Danny Lee, and Chez Reavy. Those will be three of my core players. Sweet. And I can go high and lower all around that.
Your two punt plays, core players of the week.
Yep. I can go with the big boy. Ah. Pick to win, Jesse.
What kind of question is that?
I'm just giving you the chance to apologize to him and pick somebody else.
If I pick him, he's not gonna win. It's like a double-edged sword. God. All right, Paul Casey.
It's crazy too. He's the second lowest odds at 10-1 to win this thing.
I can't.
What about you, Bucks? I know.
I am calling. I'll give a couple because I'm first calling Perez back to back.
Ooh, I
love
it.
Love where his game is at. And typically this would be a fade spot for me because of the whole aftermath of the win. Who knows if he is even alive right now. But I really do like Perez and the way he's playing right now. And I think this course is exactly set up the way that it was last week, kind of. Not, you don't have to hit driver, keep it in play. Other than Perez, I have two, Cam Smith, the Golden Cherub, and Danny Lee.
Lee is 66-1 if you want to get weird. I don't hate that at all.
Hey, do you have – what's Graeme McDowell?
Give me a second to find it. I wonder what McDowell is 100-1. I wonder what their top 10 numbers are. She was like, look, 33% of it or some garbage like that. I have to check that out.
Give me that.
He's 100-1. And then
play on those guys, I guess.
Yeah, and Cam Smith's 40-1. All right.
Parlay for top 10 for all those guys.
See, that'd be the way to play those guys, the top 10. The guy I like is Daniel Berger at 33-1. I like him a lot. So I'm going Daniel Berger at 33-1. I have a question for you guys, and either one of you guys can start it and finish it, but it's a name we did not talk about, and I know it's going to be all over people's mouths because this is a popular guy. Captain America Pat Reed's in this field. You guys have any thoughts on him? I'm not on him at all, but I wonder what you guys think about Pat Reed.
Typically this would be a spot that I actually like Reed in a lot because when I think of Pat Reed, I think of really strong iron play, and he can make putts in the right situations. But the last five or six rounds, he is avoiding bogeys and he's making birdies, but he is just not stuffing it with his short irons or mid irons, and he's not converting those putts the way that I would typically expect. And so when you have like Xander right next to him, Leishman right next to him, Perez right next to him, I have to fade him.
What about you, Jesse?
I won't play him, but just to be devil's advocate, I mean, he has four top 20s in his last seven starts. This is a much weaker field, no cut.
Yeah.
In those last seven starts, I mean, he finished 13th at the Tour Championship. So, but I mean, his putter is what he needs to get going, and whether or not he will or not is a big question. Of course, I don't know. He wasn't that impressive to me at the President's Cup. I didn't watch a whole heck of a lot of it. I'm pretty sure he got beat on Sunday. I know he was probably hungover, not really holding that against him, but I don't know. Just don't have a – I don't seem to have a whole lot of momentum coming off of that if you want to try to play that angle. I mean, the only other – I think he'll be low-owned. I think, you know, sandwiched in between Xander, who was second or whatever last week, and then the winner last week, I think he would probably get Pat Reed at 15 or less, which would be my comparison.
I think it'll be sub-10 for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to know because he hasn't been around lately. He's been playing actually in Europe quite a bit besides the end of the FedEx Cup, so that's why I was curious. I see with the shout-out on the Twitter sphere, we have a question from 3-putt par Mike. Some guy, I don't know who he is, but he's freaking goofy. How many Asians are too many Asians this week?
I mean, that's the question. You could definitely get away with, like, Nah, Lee, Sung Kang, Wee Kim. I mean, you could definitely make a good, like, all-Asian team, but, I mean, if you want to make an all-Asian team and play me any amount, heads up, send it over. I'll accept it auto.
For sure. Any thoughts on that, Jesse?
People try to play that angle, and I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan now. If you want to play Song and Wang, I think those are two good Asians to play.
Hung Song Wang. Wang.
So,
you think of Wang Chung.
Mr. 3-putt par. You go ahead and get Wang and Song in a couple lineups.
There you go. There you go. I'm going to cut this off before it gets a little too goofy. any final words, guys? Another no-cut event. We know how much we love these no-cut events. And the tournaments are garbage again this week. I went in on Wednesday, like I always do, Wednesday afternoon. I never have problems finding the tournaments I want. There's nothing. Nothing. And they're already garbage right now. Less than 20%.
Yeah, everything's been bad. Euro sucks. I mean, it's just a terrible time for DFS golf purposes on DraftKings. I did dabble a little bit in FanDuel last week. Made a little money over there. So, I mean, it's not a bad idea to kind of go back and forth between the sites. But no cash this week. And, you know, I'm scaling way back. I'm not going to be playing that much money again, especially not knowing the golf course at all whatsoever.
Yep. What about you, Bucks?
It's just weak, man. It's just a week. I mean, it was weak last week, and it's like the first week in, all year I didn't play the 333 because it was just so scrubby. And, of course, my lineup went just bananas.
Yeah. Never fit.
So I feel like even though it's scrubby this week, like only 200 guys in the 333, like I feel like I have to play it. Like the 1500 only has 24 entries this week.
That's ridiculous.
It's just insane. But I mean, I get it. But come on, I mean, it's no cut event.
What they'll end up doing though is Wednesday night, they'll start adding in a lot more contests, a lot more GPPs, and they'll all fill up. So I just don't understand, like, why they don't just put them all out there at once. I mean, I get it from their point of view, but from a gambling perspective, it sucks.
I would like for them to do, like, one weekend during NFL season where it's, like, a big blowout weekend for golf. Like, escape the NFL, play one weekend over here.
Maybe
but these past 2 weeks are the week to do it, right? You're getting paid before the start of NFL on Sunday.
Yeah, no, that is an excellent point. It's a very, very good point. Unless you lose all your money like me, then you don't get anything back. But we do have the Sanderson's farm next week. So
yeah, I think.
I mean, that's a good time. Big time.
I think starting next week we'll start to see it grow a little bit.
I hope.
Get your web back on.
So, it should be good. Well,
it'll be good. This will be a good tournament. The course looks good. It's just another one of those we don't know what's going to happen. But that'll do it again on another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Pod. Get Bucks on Twitter at BPSnow11. Get Jesse at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BDentric. And check out the pod at Always Press DFS. Till next week. Catch you guys later.